Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today we're going to talk about pigmentation. This is such a good topic. And I want to teach you the difference between hyperpigmentation and hemosiderin staining. I myself suffer from hyperpigmentation and was recently in Cancun, and the heat of the tropical sun created so much pigment activation for my melasma. And, you know, very often people think that putting sunscreen on is the cure and the remedy. Well, it's not just that. I used a ton of mineral sunscreen, 20% zinc oxide on my face, my cheeks. And it's actually just the warmth and the heat that can trigger heat shock proteins that create this cascade of inflammatory change, which then makes inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So there are so many things that we need to talk about here. Hyperpigmentation, melasma, and then a new one that you may not have heard of, hemosiderin staining. And I'm talking about that because so many patients are coming in and calling and asking questions about it. They may have had procedures done. Sometimes when you have a lot of bruising or venous pooling or breakdown blood products in the skin, you can develop hemosiderin staining. The red blood cells break open, the hemoglobin and the byproducts of the heme molecule are released, and this can create that pigment stain. So hyperpigmentation and hemosiderin staining are the two most common skin pigment problems that people face. Hyperpigmentation is a condition when your skin can become darker and more pigmented in isolated areas than the surrounding skin, and it's all due to overproduction of melanin. Of course, melanin is a pigment that gives you your skin color, and any skin type can get hyperpigmentation. It's much more common during pregnancy, as one ages, as one has solar damage and photo damage, and following an injury. Certainly hormones play a factor as well. So hemosiderin staining is different because the protein compound that stores iron in your red cells, the hemoglobin, when it breaks down, it builds up beneath the skin surface, leading to the development of sometimes yellow, brown, black discoloration, all the shades of a bruise. Very often hemosiderin staining occurs after procedures. We've seen it after QWO, the cellulite treatment in the buttocks, that broke down the blood vessels and tissues there and created a lot of deep, dark purple bruising. Staining often seen also in the lower extremities for people who have venous dependency or poor drainage of the legs. Older people that get chronic stasis in their legs sometimes get this kind of pigment change, which is called hemosiderin staining. So, what are different kinds of pigment types? We have melasma, also known as choasma or the mask of pregnancy, which large patches of dark skin are often on the forehead, face, stomach, cheeks, sometimes related to taking birth control pills. Very often those with medium to darker skin types are affected. It fluctuates with pregnancy. It can come and go, but once you've suffered from melasma, it is the disease that keeps giving. It is chronic. It's like having diabetes. It's so important to get into your head this mindset that pigmentation is not going to be able to be cured. There isn't a cure. It's just kind of a struggle of you learning how to deal with it, moderate it, treat it. And you'll have periods that are so good where everything's calm and settled. Then you'll have periods where your melasma will flare and will need you to be right back on top of all your treatments and medications and protocols. So you're going to learn to be the master of your melasma. And number one, two, and three are prevention and avoidance. So prevention of ultraviolet radiation, heat, even something so simple as hot yoga, cooking in front of a hot flaming stove, sitting by a fireplace, all these things I love to do, and all these things will trigger my melasma. And where does it hit first? Front and center on the cheeks, where the face gets its first penetration and first exposure to the heat. It's so important to realize that the cheeks take the brunt of a lot of what we do to our faces, whether it's putting on your soap, your exfoliating scrub, your makeup. We start with the cheeks and repeatedly, like stroking that blush brush or the foundation right up the cheekbones. Like every day, that little friction is also a trigger. So sometimes putting things on your skin should be done at the periphery first. and putting things on your cheeks with gentle dabs and pats versus a scrub or a, you know, really deep penetrating massage. So just think about that, because I think I do kind of attack my cheeks a little bit. In addition to melasma triggering on the cheeks, it can also appear on the forehead. I see repetitive friction causing melasma. So people who wear a baseball hat, you will get that repeated friction on the face and the forehead, and you'll get darkening there. Definitely the left side of the face gets more pigmentation. Photo damage from the sun on the driver's side is definitely going to change the way that you age on that side of your face. And this truly happens so fast. You think that sun is no big deal and a short drive from here to there that you don't really need to worry. It's not true. Think about when you leave your Sunday paper in the driveway for like 2 hours. You know, the guy delivers it at 7, 8 a.m. and I'm going to run to the store and come back. By the time I come back at noon, that thing is yellow, cracking. And like, you know, on one side, it's white, the side that's face down. On the side that's face up, it's become oxidized, yellowed, and damaged that quickly. And that's paper. Skin is so much more delicate than paper. In my car, I drive with sunscreen all the time. I have a powder, duster, mineral, color science brush. Love that. Put that on my chest, on my neck, on my décolleté, on my hands, and definitely on the face when driving. So prevention is key. Avoidance of the heat, reducing friction and abrasive things. Make sure that you have UV protection, and your protection, if it's mineral sunscreen, is going to prevent you from getting UVA, UVB, blue light. These are things that we need to start concerning ourselves with. It's the repeated exposure day after day after day that builds and accumulates and causes oxidative damage to the skin and collagen breakdown. Remember, wearing a big, huge hat is great. Putting a visor, putting some gloves on your hands, all these excellent ideas. Remember to use your antioxidant. So vitamin C in the morning is key. So many people do not know that they need to put their vitamin C on preferentially in the mornings. That is when we get our sun exposure. Just like when we cut an avocado and we sprinkle lemon on there. Why do we do that? So the avocado stays green. It doesn't get browning because the lemon and the citric acid that's present in it are going to act as antioxidants, preventing oxidative damage and browning of the skin surface, just like vitamin C. So the citric acids of vitamin C are going to improve the ability of the skin to be resilient when it faces the sun damage and prevent oxidative change. I use my triple shot serum, which is amazing. It has a ton of green tea. It has resveratrol, which is one of the most potent antioxidants that's found in red wine and grapes, and vitamin C as well, and caffeine for a little skin tightening. I put that on every morning for sure, as well as my vitamin C serum. I'm just like double doing the vitamin C. And at night, vitamin C for collagen rebuilding. It is a collagen cofactor. It's necessary to build new collagen. So at nighttime when your skin regenerates, this is also a great time to use vitamin C. So those are the things we can do to avoid melasma. Preventative treatments. You know you're going to Hawaii. Start with a couple days of a medium potency steroid cream on your melasma areas or globally where you tend to pigment, because that stops the inflammatory cascade. Start using mineral sunscreen heavy a few days before you go, because the level of zinc oxide on the skin surface builds up and accumulates and gives you kind of diffuse protection even after you wash your face. And use your antioxidants. And when you get to Hawaii, remember mineral sunscreen is best. When ultraviolet hits you, it bounces off these reflective zinc oxide, titanium dioxide particles, and it doesn't allow penetration of ionizing rays into the skin. We want that to bounce off of us. Chemical sunscreens are also good. Any sunscreen is good, right? But a chemical sunscreen allows these ionizing UV rays to come into the skin, actually make a chemical reaction with that chemical compound that's going to then neutralize the negative effect of the ionizing radiation. So I'd rather personally not have that skin penetration. I'd rather have the light bounce and reflect off of me. And, you know, zinc oxide, titanium dioxide, these are inert minerals. So very, very safe. Use a formulation that you're going to love. Try my Ultimat. It's a perfecting sun shield. It is 20% zinc oxide. Love, love, love it. And it's tinted. It doesn't give you like a pasty look. It hides my imperfections. It kind of just is one of the most amazing sunscreens you're going to try. But these are the things that you can do ahead of time before you go. The steroid, the zinc oxide build up gradually, the vitamins, high dose vitamin C. There are oral antioxidants you can take, pill form as well. And I think this is going to help you treat your melasma. I also personally like to pre-treat my skin with an anti-melasma pigment kind of a treatment. So I'll use a bleaching cream or a prescription grade, either hydroquinone or some other lighteners. There is controversy about using hydroquinone, but I personally think it's a workhorse and a stable workhorse that's worked for 50 to 60 years. And it's such a good product. So you should use it off and on. You should always take a holiday from it periodically. You should never use it to the point of overusing it. You should make sure you have a great manufacturer that's not sending you a product with contaminants, because that can happen if you use overseas bleaching products. And I think it's very safe to do. So when I am getting ready for summer sun exposure, I will pre-treat my skin with my bleaching pads. And these have up to 6, 8, or 10% hydroquinone, even 12%. I also love the natural lighteners that are in them, like kojic acid, arbutin. There is a vitamin C for sure. There are so many natural lighteners on the market that you can use to help improve pigmentation. So pre-treating to knock down the level of pigment before the summer sun kicks in and then burns in and really darkens and entraps the melasma, I think that's a great idea. I also post-treat. When I get home from a beachy trip, I will aggressively go on a bleaching regimen to lighten and knock down production of melanin by these melanin-producing cells, and I will use several different methods of attacking melanin production. So the natural lighteners, kojic acid, arbutin, emblica, the hydroquinone, I'll also use cysteamine. That one's a new one. Maybe you haven't heard of it. Maybe I should do a podcast on cysteamine. All of these attack different mechanisms of pigment production. Light exfoliation is also nice. Once your skin calms down from being baked in the heat, you want to allow a week or two, but I will do some light glycolic peels, or actually lactic acid peels, will be best to reduce pigmentation without creating irritation. You can talk to your esthetician about this. But melasma is a battle. It's a battlefield, and you have to learn how to fight the battle. You have to proactively, preemptively ward it off. And when it comes for you, because it will come, then you adjust things. You amplify your regimen. You attack it some more. Post-inflammatory. So we talked about melasma, then there's post-inflammatory pigmentation, and that's inflammation, spots or patches of dark skin after an inflammatory skin condition, like an acne breakout, an eczema breakout, an injury, a burn. Anything that irritates the skin surface can trigger inflammatory change. Even a needle stick. It's true. Picking acne, very true. So if you're going to pick some acne, first of all, don't get acne. Have a great skin regimen. If you get a breakout, like we all do, treat it preemptively. So don't wait for it to fester and build and develop underground pus. Do come in and get an extraction. Get it lanced. Get it drained sterily. Get it injected with Kenalog if it's a deeper kind of indwelling cystic acne. Because when something sits and cooks for a while and heats up, the inflammatory cascade is going to trigger. So preemptively pre-treat these acne-irritated spots with an anti-inflammatory regimen. A little bit of steroid, a little bit of these medicines that reduce pigment and turn off melasma production. I kind of always have that in my toolkit of what I need for my skin. A low-potency, medium-potency steroid cream, some hydroquinone, Retin A, of course, for exfoliating and healing the skin, antioxidants. You got to have a toolkit for your skin. Age spots and liver spots are solar lentigines. These are brown, tan, black spots that appear on the skin with sun exposure. Most commonly your face and hands or the back, the chest. See, I see so often sun damaged chests. And we used to call them liver spots, but I just call them photo damage. And this is truly just where the skin has created aging patches and your pigment cells have turned on. And it is so possible to improve and treat these. Usually we'll do multiple peels to improve pigmentation in these areas. Definitely prevention is helpful. If you allow so much sun damage to happen on delicate skin like your neck and chest, you can get kind of red, leathery, scaly skin. You know, that redness that looks kind of like a chronic sunburn, that's called poikiloderma. Patients who have that should definitely get an anti-inflammatory regimen started and do something proactive to improve that skin. So many different topical creams can be used for hyperpigmentation. We talked about them. The newer ones, the azelaic acid and cysteamine, we should do a whole podcast on those by themselves. There's also one called Mequinol. Niacinamide, one of my favorite ingredients to reduce pigmentation. All of these in combination should be at some stage tried for you, and you can see which thing you respond best to. Melasma is not a one and done. One thing doesn't work for everyone. Everyone is going to have their favorite product that works the best for them, and it is going to take some experimentation. So working with a great doctor like myself or a great dermatologist who's going to get on board with trying a few things for you is so important. And so many times the medical derms out there think that aesthetics and cosmetic and improvement of appearance is not so critical, but I think you should find someone who wants to work with you to give you the most glowy and amazing skin of your life. Think about laser procedures as well, intense pulse light, chemical peels. There are so many treatments for melasma, the best of which probably would include Clear and Brilliant, the Pico laser. Alma has an excellent laser. And above all, we want lasers that don't produce heat, which generates pigment. We want lasers that are going to be multiple small treatments with little downtime and good healing. And the same with peels. I actually favor peels instead of lasers. Peels do not create the amount of thermal heat energy to the skin that a laser will. And it's so important to reduce that thermal heat because that turns on the entire melasma cascade. And so chemical peels that are low grade, repeated regularly, are the best way to get melasma out of the skin. You have to think of this dermal pigment that's deposited deep in the levels of the dermis, kind of like a penny at the bottom of the pool. You're not going to be able to go all the way down and pluck that penny out without taking off layers, lifting and evaporating pool water until you finally get to that depth. And that's a slow and gradual process, and peels are wonderful. One study in 2017 from PubMed suggested that aloe vera capsules were beneficial in pregnancy. And pregnancy is a particularly hard time because you can't do much with your pigmentation. But you can do resveratrol, green tea, aloe vera. You can do some of the natural lighteners like the vitamin C's for sure. And green tea improves irritative change and reduces pigmentation. Licorice, there was a PubMed study that suggested that a licorice extract called glabridin can have anti-inflammatory skin whitening effects, as well as the aloe vera, as well as arbutin. There's so many things that you can try if you run it by your OB doctor and your derm. So we talked about skin inflammation. We talked about sun. Medical things can create pigmentation, including certain drugs, anti-malarial, antidepressants, tricyclic antidepressants, sometimes diseases like Addison's disease. Pigmentation is very common when you have thyroid issues. Hemosiderin staining is its own animal, and that comes when red blood cells are broken down, causing hemoglobin to be stored as hemosiderin within the dermis. And trauma creates this, edema of the legs, diabetes or cardiac disease, venous hypertension and venous leg vein insufficiency, all that pooling of blood products in your legs and vein treatments can cause this. Certainly Quo that enzyme, which was a collagenase that broke down cellulite dimples, was a big culprit causing humerus siderin staining in a lot of our patients on their buttock area. And remember that it's very difficult to treat, and you have to be very proactive. You can't just see someone who says, well, it'll get better or it won't get better, because mostly it won't get better. And we want to treat with things that improve capillary blood flow. So in my experience, when we vasodilate the skin with heat, like warm sitz baths and things like that, the skin capillaries on the very surface of the skin and dermis enlarge, and that allows more picking up of red blood cell breakdown products, right? So massage, lymphatic massage, treatments that dilate and vasodilate the skin surface and capillaries would be helpful. Using a bleaching regimen will still be helpful because it'll even up the skin tone. Lasers, like a Q-switched laser, can be used to treat hemosiderin staining, and YAG lasers as well. It's a very difficult problem, and when there is decreased circulation in the area, like with leg vein stasis, or if you have varicose vein ulcers, or you just don't have good blood flow down there, the massage on circulation is so critical. So elevation, stimulating the flow of blood fluid in that area can improve that tremendously. I also see hemosiderin staining in the under eyes. Certain populations of ethnicities, I know Indian skin, Pakistani skin, Arabic skin, very commonly I see this deposition of pigment in the under eye tear trough, which makes the tear trough look so much deeper than it is. And when you really pull that skin, you can tell that it's pigment. It's tattooed into the dermis, because when you pull on the skin, the pigment travels in the direction of the pull. So you can try that simple test on yourself. When you move the skin around, does the pigment move? Well, then your dark circles are not getting better with under eye filler. You're going to need to use a bleaching regimen or a product that improves that under eye circulation. People get venous stasis around the eyes from allergies. There's venous pooling when you have poor sinus drainage and nasal drainage, poor anatomy there. Sometimes when you are prone to lymphatic blood flow problems, maybe you've had bad under eye filler and you don't have good lymphatic drainage. Maybe you were born with festoons or infraorbital fat pads that create under eye drainage problems. All of these things can be addressed with lymphatic drainage procedures, assessing the anatomy, dissolving tear trough filler. So many different ways that we can assess that. But often that pigment is of the hemosiderin staining type. We sometimes see staining after injectable procedures where someone had a particularly bad bruising episode. It can leave pigment tattooing the skin. And various topical creams and gels can be used preventatively. But complete removal of all pigment may not be possible with these treatments because the hemosiderin is such a deep, dark, difficult to improve pigment. And the depth of where it is scattered within the dermis is difficult to reach. Laser therapy is probably one of the more effective options for hemosiderin staining, and that depends on the level of the stain and the number of lesions present. Some people have talked about tranexamic acid, which is a topical product. It can also be injectable, and this can improve the coloration of the skin surface as well. That one you definitely need to see a professional who does treat a lot of hemosiderin problems, because the use of tranexamic acid is sometimes thought to be questionable. Many studies have shown it to be just equal to or equivalent to hydroquinone, not better, and there may be some issues with it disrupting your clotting cascade, so that's so important to check on that. Vitamin K cream, generally not so useful, but people use arnica. People also use vitamin K. Hemosiderin discoloration may go away if the injury repairs, and after a few weeks to months, it can improve. So hemosiderin, this iron storage complex that's formed by the breakdown of the hemoglobin, is a really difficult problem to treat. And the things that we found to be effective, you can try them. The Q-switched YAG lasers have been most effective. I am definitely a fan of tranexamic acid. There are also some iron chelators that can be used. These are injectable as well as IV. Dermatologists typically recommend hydroquinone with other lighteners. And I have had some success with injecting tranexamic acid into the skin. I'm a big fan of avoidance, so procedures that reduce bruising using a cannula is very helpful. Also arnica, also using bromelain, which helps to prevent bruising, putting some compression on an area so that venous oozing doesn't occur into a treatment site, very effective. If you're getting cellulite dimples treated, Quo has been taken off the market, but other products can also cause this problem. So just remember to wear some compression garments. That will be helpful. And definitely do lymphatic massage and hot sitz baths, because you want to vasodilate the surface of the skin, and that will certainly help you to improve the circulatory flow and the picking up of these breakdown products. So guys, that was a lot of information all about hemosiderin staining and the difference between that and melasma and the reasons you need to learn to work with your melasma to really be the master of your melasma. You need to understand what causes it. You need to try several different types of treatments. And then we need to aim for success with consistency and avoidance. And have a great, great summer. I want you guys to stay so healthy. Remember, you do need the sun for vitamin D and to power your mitochondria, but you got to protect the important real estate, and you got to work on your melasma for prevention when the skin surface gets stained and browned and irregular and mottled. You just lose that luminescence and that glow and that look of vitality. So there's something to be said for cleaning up the skin every so often with a good peel or a good aggressive skincare regimen. Talk to me about it. Send me a DM. You guys can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. It's www.beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my amazing melasma products. The ones I love the best, the vitamin C serum, 20% vitamin C, the bleaching pads, 6, 8, or 10%, even up to 12% if you call the office. And I also really am a big fan of our prescription products, which we compound for you, that have steroid lighteners, retin-A, and hydroquinone all been built in, but those are specially compounded. And these are all the things that you're going to love them. This summer, you have to try the Ultimat SPF. It is so good. This is the one that's mineral-based that bounces the light right off you. All right, guys, that's it for now. Stay beautiful.